last week we looked at salvation, and we kind of reframed the whole thing. For too long, salvation has been taught that, you know, say a prayer, get into heaven, that's all that matters. Or God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, you just have to join on. Salvation, we looked at last week, is much more than that. It's actually through faith in Jesus Christ, it's joining with God in his plan to redeem the whole universe. It's way more than we realize. And when it comes to prayer, I think there's misconceptions about that as well. And just like we were all on a spectrum last week on salvation, some here have been saved for ages, some had just been saved a little bit, some were not believers. I think when it comes to prayer, we're all on a spectrum as well. Some of us have been praying our whole lives, and this will seem like a very basic thing to you, but I think it's still good to hit that. Others of you, maybe you've heard lots of different things about prayer and you're wondering about it, and that's what I'm trying to cover this morning. So to get us thinking about prayer, I thought we'd go to the next slide here, and I have a little clip to show you. Just imagine you'd never ever been to a church, you don't know anything about Jesus, and you come into one of those. What we're going to do this morning is demystify some of this stuff. So prayer at its simplest, we're going to look at how to pray, then we're going to look at some different ways to pray. And this might seem like basic knowledge to you, really common sense stuff. That's because it is. And it's just, well, let's get started here. How to pray. This is prayer. We speak, God listens. God speaks, and we listen. I ripped that off of Walter Wangren, in case you, if this sounds familiar. But it's just the best description of prayer I've ever heard of. We speak, God hears us, then God speaks, and we listen. Anything less than that is just mumbling to ourselves, mumbling in the dark. It's not prayer. This is prayer. It begins with us speaking. You know, last week we looked at salvation. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in now I'm feeling all self-conscious. In the third chapter of Mark on the 860, no, in the third chapter of John, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was playing coy with him and said, oh, can I enter into my mother's womb? And he said, no, those born of the Spirit, born of the wind. One of the grand metaphors for salvation in Scripture is new birth. We are born again. When a child is born for the first time, the first thing they try to do is communicate. Usually it starts with crying and goes for a long time with crying. I have a seven and a half week old son right now, and crying is a good way to communicate. It sure makes the parents notice. And it progresses from there. It goes from just crying. Eventually you get them to smile. And that's the cutest thing, eh? When you get a baby to smile, you just feel like a million bucks. You're like, oh yeah, I have a reason to live. My kid smiled. Even though deep down in your heart, you know it was just a gas bubble. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Newborns, as soon as they're born, they try to communicate. And it's the same in the spiritual world. As soon as we're born again, as soon as we trust Jesus, as soon as we join with God for the salvation of this universe, we start to speak. We have this desire to communicate with our Father, with our Creator. And oftentimes it sounds like newborns. We just cry, and we cry out. It's all we can do. Ah, on cue! Thank you for pinching him right when I needed it. I'm just joking. Many are self-conscious when it comes to praying, especially praying out loud. You feel like you don't have the right words to say. You don't have that grand spiritual vocabulary, right? I don't know if you notice. I'm going to let you in on a secret this morning. Sometimes, actually almost all the time when I pray, I pause quite a bit when I'm praying. It's not because I'm spiritual. It's not because I'm leaving a dramatic pause for the Spirit of God to move. It's because I'm thinking about what to say next. You don't have to. My older son, when he does a card for me, it's just crayon in the hand, scribble. But it's beautiful. My kid cannot make me an ugly card. And in the same way, we cannot offer to our Heavenly Father a bad prayer. He just loves to hear us. It's natural for us to speak. And it's something we're encouraged to do in Scripture. I'm not going to read all these verses, obviously, but Philippians 4:6 just talks about, you know, in everything, Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. We're encouraged to do this. We speak and God listens. You know, earthly fathers can get tired, especially when the why game starts being played. Why? And there's no answer, no ending to that game, except but because I told you so. Our Heavenly Father never gets tired of hearing us pray. Never gets tired of hearing us pray the same thing. He has something on your heart you've been agonizing over for years, and you feel like, oh man, I can't bring this to God again in prayer. He'll be so tired. He doesn't get tired of us. He never tires. He is the example of what a good father is. He never gets tired of hearing from us. I shared a while ago, it's probably a year ago now, I should just start repeating instead of saying I'm repeating, because I don't know if anyone would remember. But I shared about God, how he's really far away from us and he's really close to us at the same time. Theologically, the words are immanence and transcendence, but in Sesame Street, Grover demonstrates it with near and far, right? Do you remember that? Near and far. God is the creator of the universe, seated on the throne in heaven, immeasurably far beyond us and above us. And that can make us shout. It doesn't happen a lot here, honestly. But I've been in a lot of prayer meetings where people feel like they really need to shout so that God can hear them. Or maybe you've heard this expression. I was praying, but I was just feeling like my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling and they weren't going anywhere. Well, you know what? That's just fine. Because God is immeasurably far above us, but he's also in our hearts by his Spirit. The Spirit of God's Son, Jesus Christ, when we trust Jesus, when we start to follow him, comes and lives in our hearts, like was shared earlier this morning. And you know what? You don't have to shout through the roof, because he's right here. He's ready to hear us, and he's ready to listen to us. There's a throne room image we see in Hebrews 4. You know what? I'm going to read this one. I want to make sure I get the words right. Hebrews 4. This is a great verse. I'll start at verse 14. Since we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is in every respect tested as we are, yet without sin. So, and here's the point, let's approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We are invited, because of our relationship with the Son of God, to come before God's throne in a spiritual way and make our requests, our prayers, our thanksgiving, everything known to him. We're invited into the very throne room itself. We speak is the first element of prayer, but then God listens. He hears us. No matter how quiet we are, or how loud we are, or how poor our spiritual vocabulary is. You know, this is an aside. Spiritual vocabulary is overrated. And I know this because I found it in myself. It's really easy for me to develop this way of praying that I know what to say and the words roll off my lips because you prayed it a million times. And the danger is that you don't really mean what you say anymore because you just pray the words that you've always prayed. You know, the spiritual vocabulary is overrated. It's good for us to just talk to God like he's beside us. Talk to him like he's the person beside you because he's closer than that. Anyways, I'm getting to that later. We speak, God listens, and then God speaks. For many people, prayer stops after those first two. We speak, we have this vague sense that God hears us, and then that's it. But if prayer has to go further than that. Let me demonstrate. And I didn't even plan this, so. Elaine, are you able to help me by playing piano this week at the Pines? So I need to find someone to help me play at the Pines. I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, that was a really... I can't act. But listen, what I'm trying to say is I'll just say what I'm trying to say. The example was bad. What we do is we pray to God, and then we walk away without listening to what he has to say. We say, oh God, I don't know what to do here. What should I do? And then you go away and worry about what you should do instead of stopping to listen. Prayer doesn't end with us talking. It ends with us listening. We speak, God listens. Sorry to use you so poorly in an example like that, Elaine.
Okay, I'll do it.
Excellent, excellent. We speak, God listens, God speaks. You know, the first thing we find out about God in the Bible is that He speaks. It's the first thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, God spoke, let there be light. It's the first distinctive characteristic we know of God. We always talk about His omniscience and His omnipotence and His omnipresence and all the big theological words, but the first thing we find out about God is He likes to talk. And when we pray, He answers. Matthew 7, that famous verse, we're told to, as the video at the beginning said, seek, S is in. Seek, we're told to ask, we're told to knock, because when you do that, He will answer us. So how does God speak to us? If you've watched any Monty Python, maybe in the back of your mind you have this vision of the clouds opening up and this person with a big crown on his head and a booming voice speaking out of the clouds. I'm never going to say what God can't do. If God wants to speak to you like that, He can speak to you like that. He spoke through Balaam's donkey. He can speak through anything. But how does He most often speak? Well, I'll share it to me. He most often speaks just with this, I don't know how to explain it, but this just knowledge in my spirit that I know what to do next. And it just takes a lifetime of getting used to listening to that. You pray, God listens, and then just pause and wait. And see if you don't get this feeling, this knowledge, this way of God speaking to you. He speaks through our conscience. When you became a believer, your conscience was baptized as well. And it becomes a vehicle that God speaks to you with. When you're going outside of what He wants you to do, often your conscience, He will kind of spark it up and you'll listen to that. We're told to listen to our conscience. He speaks to us through His Word. This is probably the most often way I hear the voice of God. And this is next week's message. But as we take time to read this and really understand it and really think about it, we'll find that God speaks to us. I'll be praying about something and a verse will come into my head and I'll realize, yeah, that God, that's what You want. That's what You want for me now. He speaks through our circumstances, through open doors and closed doors, through guiding the paths of your life. He speaks through all of these things together. And you know what? If He spoke out of a cloud, I wouldn't doubt it. Because He's God. But we need to learn to listen. The key is learning to hear that voice. We speak, God listens. God speaks, and we listen. God always does His part. God always talks. God always answers us. Where this process gets stopped is right here. Have you ever talked to someone on the phone that you know they're not paying attention to you? They're paying attention to their kids, and maybe they're playing a computer game online, and you hear, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you ask a question, and you stop, and you hear, mm-hmm. Have you ever been in one of those conversations? It's the most awkward thing. And I trust it doesn't happen when you call the church. But yeah, I wouldn't dare play a computer game while I'm counseling. why did I say that? Think how God feels. We've asked Him something. He's sharing His answer with us, and He just wants to tune in to hear it. And instead, we're focused on all the things around us instead. We need to listen, and listening means obeying. I've shared this before often. I can't share it enough. In Scripture, when it talks about hearing God, it means obeying God. If you say you've heard God, but you don't do what God asks you to do, you can't really say that you've heard Him. It hasn't happened. Because hearing, scripturally speaking, is obeying. To hear God is to obey Him, to do what He asks us to do. Some of us get to that point in our life, and I've been here a few times, where you say, you know what, I've prayed, and I've stopped, and I'm pausing, and I'm paying attention, but I just can't seem to hear His voice. Well, did you listen to the last thing He told you? Is there something God has told you to do, but you're pulling a Jonah and kind of ignoring it because it's uncomfortable or it's awkward or everything? know, the more you obey God, the more you're able to hear him. The more you do, you obey that little nudge in your spirit, the more he speaks to you. My friend Brian, I got to share this. He wrote a blog post. He's a pastor in Mississauga right now, downtown Mississauga, actually Port Credit. And he wrote this blog post that it was one of those mornings when he woke up and he just needed a coffee and he could smell it as soon as he got up. Like, you just, you know those mornings when you need a coffee? He's a caffeine guy like me. So he got up with enough time to go to Starbucks and got an amazing, delicious coffee, and I'm getting thirsty just thinking about it. He took it to church and he had his laptop under his arm and went to the outreach center and he had it all planned out. He was going to sit down, open up the laptop, write his blog post to his congregation that morning and just enjoy this coffee. And he gets there and there's this a homeless person that's been dropping in lately right at the door waiting for him. And he's like, oh, there goes my plans, right? And so he was bargaining with God, and he's like, okay, there's this one-year-old frozen nabob in the freezer. I can make it in the coffee maker, and I'll offer that to him. I'm not giving up my Starbucks. And sure enough, God kept nudging him, and the punchline of the blog post was, I'm writing this drinking one-year-old pre-frozen nabob coffee because he obeyed. And I got to share with you, I emailed him and said that while I was reading his blog post, I was drinking freshly ground kicking horse fair trade coffee, and it tasted delicious, but I just like to bug him. Little things like that, the more times you obey what you know God's asked you to do, the easier it is to hear him next time. It's this relationship that develops. We speak, God listens. God speaks, and we listen. That's how to pray. It's as simple as that. It doesn't take big words. Just talk like he's the person next to you, because he is. Now, different ways to pray. I wanted to touch on a couple more things before we leave. I've got listed three different things. They're almost at random. You could think of more. But we need to pray vocally and contemplatively, alone and together, formally and spontaneously. Some big words here. Here's what I mean by the first one. It's good to pray out loud. Some people get into this mindset that, you know, if you're really spiritual, you just pray in your heart and you don't have to say anything. And God hears the thoughts in your mind. I pray to God like that, but it's also good to pray out loud. Oftentimes when I'm here in the morning after I first get here, I'll just wander around the sanctuary and pray, and I'll pray out loud. And if you were in the foyer listening, you'd think I'd gone crazy because I'm talking to myself. But I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to someone else. I pray out loud because it helps me to focus. If I just pray in my mind, my thoughts go scattered. But if I pray out loud, it focuses what I'm doing. And it reminds me that I'm talking to someone that's right next to me. It's good to pray out loud. It's good to verbalize what you're saying. But we can't do that all the time. If you're a greeter at Walmart and you're praying out loud all the time, you're going to get fired because they're going to think you're nuts. And don't think of that as a religious persecution or anything, because you just sound nuts. If you're in a place where you can't pray out loud, then don't pray out loud. Pray in your heart. I think this is what Paul's talking about when he tells us to pray without ceasing. To always have that sense that God is right here. And in every encounter during our day, he's right ready to hear us. And you can be talking to someone, and the situation may be tense. You're having an argument. You're having something. And you need God's help with you in that time. You can mentally be praying to God while you're having that conversation. It's good to pray out loud, and it's good to pray silently. And you know what? They build off each other. I found the more I pray out loud, the easier it is to pray in my mind. The easier it is to be focused. And conversely, the more I pray in my mind, the more I take every event in my day to God, the more motivated I am to come and to just verbalize what I have for God. We pray vocally, and we also pray in our spirit or contemplatively. We pray alone. We also pray together. I wanted to read, I'll read this passage now from Matthew. This is the way my sermon started when I was preparing it, and then I went a lot of different directions from there. in my prep, but Matthew 6, this is how Jesus taught us to pray. Whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and the Father who sees you in secret will reward you. When you are praying, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. How many prayer meetings I've been in when I've wanted to quote that verse, but anyways, not here. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need what you need before you ask him. So this is how you should pray. Or when you pray, say this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We often add, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's not in Scripture, but it's a great doxology to the prayer, so I'm going to keep saying it. We pray alone. We're not to make big shows of our prayer. We're not supposed to boast in how well we can pray. If that's your temptation, run and spend more time praying alone. But it's also good to pray together. We are one church. I was sharing this last week, and I can't stress this enough. There's a lot of things I can't stress enough. I, myself, am not the temple of the Holy Spirit. None of us ourselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The language is plural in Corinthians. We, actually it says you yourselves, plural, are the temple, singular, of the Holy Spirit. The church together makes up God's temple. We can't do this Christian thing alone. We have to be in it together. That's why the church is so important. Later on in this series, I'll be talking about church, but we are one body together, and we need to pray like that. We need to come together to pray. It's good to come together to pray. There's that famous verse in Matthew 18. Whenever two or three are gathered together, there Jesus is in the midst of it. It's often used as an excuse for pastors to justify a really poor turnout to an event. You know, just two people come out to your prayer meeting. Well, whenever two or three are gathered together, that's what pastors always go to. It means much more than that. It means that God is present in his temple when we're together. We need to pray alone, but we also need to pray together. To quote one of my heroes, Red Green, we're all in this together. Keep your stick on the ice, right? And pray formally and spontaneously. You know, when Jesus said the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew 6, verse 9, he said, when you pray, say this. That's the best translation of that. When you pray, say this. There's nothing wrong. And this is how we'll end our service this morning, with praying the Lord's Prayer together, those words. I don't know if any of you use a prayer book. I have a few different ones in my office. And sometimes, you know, I just like to open them up and pray the words that someone else has written. And there's nothing wrong with that. People will say, oh, that's vain repetition. But I've heard just as much vain repetition in spontaneous prayer as I had from people that have read from a prayer book. It's maybe not our typical style in the Pentecostal church, but there's nothing wrong with praying that way. When you pray, say this, Our Father, right? But it's also good to branch out beyond that and pray spontaneously. If you really take a close look at the Lord's Prayer, there's six different petitions, they're called. The first three are about God, and the second three are about us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation. Yeah, a good way to pray is just to take that pattern and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then pause for a minute to tell God that, yeah, you are holy. You are beyond us. Your kingdom come, and then pause for a bit to pray about how God's kingdom can come. Your will be done, then pause to pray about how God's will is being done in your life. Give us this day our daily bread. Bring your needs to him, even your practical small needs like bread for the next day. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Take time to confess your sins before God. You see what I mean? Use it as a pattern. Use it. Pray these words when you're in public, but when you're in private, use this as a way to pray, as a way to think about praying to God. We pray formally, but we also pray spontaneously. And like the other two things here, each builds off the other. It's not an either or. It's not a I pray spontaneously, not like you formal prayers. No, they're together. They're good ways to pray. Okay, I've inundated you with a lot of information at the end here. Here's the point. Just do it. Just pray. That's what matters. If you want, ignore everything I said and just pray. That would be better than understanding everything I said and going home and not praying. We're called not just to hear God's word, we're called to do it. So just pray. Here's how we're going to close the service. I have a music video from an old Christian group called The Lost Dogs. They wrote a song called Pray Where You Are. And I always find it to be a bit of an inspiration to us wherever, whenever we need to pray, that you can pray anywhere. And while we're just listening to the words of that song, and there's some images to go with it, I'd like maybe two or three of you, whatever God leads. Once that song ends, I'm going to invite us all to pray together, and if one, two, three of you could lead out, that God would remind us and motivate us, encourage us to pray more. And then I'll close and we'll end our service by praying the Our Father together. Lord, you're just awesome. You're so amazing. When we stop to think about it, that the creator of the universe stops to hear us. More than that, that you care about us and that you care about what we have to say. And even beyond that, that you answer us and you speak to us. And Lord, it's the height of self-centeredness to pray to you and not listen. So I pray you'd help us more this week. Remind us and encourage us to pray more. Both vocally when we get the chance and just in our spirits as we're driving around, wherever we are. And Lord, more than just talking, help us to really learn to listen to what your Spirit would say to us. And develop that cycle of hearing and obedience and hearing and obeying and hearing and obeying and the life of Christian growth that you have for us. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit in your temple. And I pray you'd be with us as we leave. You who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.